Welcome to the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society. Welcome to ITSP Magazine. You're listening to a new The Hacker Factory podcast with hacker maker Philip Wiley. You're about to discover what the role of a professional hacker entails, the different specializations it holds, and what it takes to learn and become one. Enjoy the conversation as Philip and guests unveil the secrets of professional hacking, a mysterious, intriguing, and often misunderstood occupation. Knowledge is power, now more than ever.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Hacker Factory podcast. Today, I'm excited to have my friend Asta Sani on. We've been connected through LinkedIn and eventually Twitter for a while now, but we didn't get to meet in person until Hacker Summer Camp recently. So it was great to finally meet her. We're RSA at the same time, didn't get to meet up. And this was one of those times that we wanted to make sure that we did get to meet in person. So it was great to meet you and welcome to the show.
Thank you, Philip. And I remember, like, as you mentioned, like, we have been connected for a while since the time pandemic started. And like, we were waiting for that time we could meet people. And this year, I know I missed you at RSA, but thank you so much for catching up and meeting me at Black Hat. It was a great, great gesture. And I truly appreciate that.
It was a pleasure. I wanted to make sure I didn't miss out on seeing you again. There was some other people like that, too, that I get to see that missed out on. And then our mutual friend Megan, I got to see her at RSA, but didn't get to see you, but finally got to see you. So that was awesome.
That's so sweet. That is so sweet.
So yeah, it's great to have you on the show. And I really love what you do for the community, because at the heart of the show, this is what it's all about, is trying to help others. And, you know, I know you're big on that, but, you know, why don't we go ahead and get started into, or why don't you tell everyone about yourself, and then maybe we'll talk about your organization, because I think that's really important that we make sure to do that before we get down some of the rabbit trail on the podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much. I know it's about cybersecurity, so I would start with, like, way back. I'll go a little bit behind in time. So let's go back to 2013. And that was the time I completed my bachelor's degree. And at that point, I started off with a couple of roles in IT. And one of them was a testing role. And I was kind of not enjoying it. And I'm kind of a personality who loves to make instant impact. And I realized, like, I'm doing something which most of us, like most around me, were doing at that point. All of my colleagues were happy with their first job, but I wasn't. I really wanted something new, something to play with in the information. And I just didn't know at that point what was that. So I actually left my job and started preparing for master's. I thought, like, maybe I need to learn more. Maybe I need to find myself. And what do I really like in computer science? So I actually prepared for a master's degree in computer science, prepared for entrance exams, cleared some of them. And when I was in my admissions phase, I went to my university, which was Indira Gandhi Delhi Technical University for Women, way back in India, New Delhi. And there I found this one course on information security management. And I was there for computer science. So this is here my admission counseling is going on. And then I found another course where people are, like, they were women, because it was a women-focused university. So there were women who were enrolling for this course. And I asked someone, like, what is it? And they mentioned, like, this is information security management. And I was like, I'm curious. I want to go and check it out. What it is. And in the syllabus, there was forensics. There was ethical hacking. There was network security, cloud security, AppSec, big data. And one of the important things which intrigued that interest in me, like which intrigued actually the interest, was forensics and hacking. Like, I grew up watching those mystery series. I grew up watching kind of those investigation series, murder mysteries, where you found out, like, who's actually the murderer. So that actually kept me guessing, like, should I want to do this? And I instantly took the decision, like, I want to do this. I don't want to end up like, I really wanted to learn more in like in terms of computer science, but that course has had to offer more. It had to offer things like it would, like I learned about algorithms. I learned about database. At the same time, I was able to learn about security. And I was like, this is something I want to do. This sounds different. I am not seeing anyone doing this kind of a role around me. So I completed a 2 years master's degree, which was followed up by a certified in ethical hacking certification. And then finally took my first role as identity and access management consultant in Tata Consultancy Services.
Oh, very cool. Thanks for sharing your background. So as I kind of mentioned, you know, to our listeners that you have a nonprofit foundation that you're helping others. Could you share about that?
Absolutely. So as I was sharing, I got into cyber after my master's degree, and the actual journey began. And the journey was, I started exploring. Cyber was so vast. There was so much information. Even during my master's program, I found an OWASP group in New Delhi. I started visiting their chapter meetups, and the questions grew, my interest grew in like gaining more knowledge. So for example, I started off with identity and access management. I wanted to know about other modalities and other domains in cybersecurity. I was curious, like how pen testing is done, how other areas are implementing, not just theoretically, but practically. So as I became part of communities, and there have been some great women communities in the past few decades, I realized like as a woman who's already in cyber, what's my role in community? How I can contribute and how I can benefit, because it's give and take. And during that time, I realized that there was this lingering question in my mind. We often talk about getting women in STEM. We often talk about getting women in cybersecurity, but what about the existing women workforce in cybersecurity? How we can help them achieve better? Especially when I wanted to switch from identity access management to different domain in cyber, like I was interested to move into threat hunting, it was tough. It was not an easy move. And at the same time, how to move up in the leadership ladder? We have seen tremendous amount of growth in terms of number of women in management position or in C-suites position, but that growth is actually very minor. We are still very underrepresented. And these two questions, they kept coming back to me. And I wanted to start something for women of the industry, where all of us can be together. We can start talking about how to make switch within cybersecurity. So how can you make that lateral movement? How you can, like, when somebody took that their first manager role in cyber, how did that happen? That story made me more curious. Like, how should I plan my journey? How should other women along with me, how we can plan if somebody is stuck? Because a woman goes through different stages of their life. So do everyone. But especially in case of women, there is family, there are children who become priority. But at the same time, we are ambitious. So how to go about it, how to keep on help each other. And for example, if somebody wants to prepare for certification and they have their newborn child, they're not getting time. They are losing their motivation. So how we can keep up with that? They're, like, I came from India to the US 4 years ago. I was an immigrant. I was alone. I wanted to, like, there have been friends that have grown up in the last 4 years. But at the same time, when you are new to a country, how to build your career, how to get your first job. And that's when I started with Breaking Barriers, Women in Cybersecurity, Lean In Circle initially. I thought we'll start with a few women, but surprisingly, in my very first year, we grew 100 plus. And today we are like close to 250 women in the community. And I eventually ended up registering it as a nonprofit because our initiative started to accelerate. We found more women joining us. We found more ideas from them, like what kind of programs within our community we can run so that we can help more women, help them in switching jobs. Help them. For example, there are a lot of women who have their bachelor's degree. They are in cyber, but they want to pursue masters. How to do that? There are women in the community who are from India, who are from different parts of the world, but who want to visit US. So what's how to come to the US? How to apply for conference? How to know that visa requirement? How to know that travel plans that they can come here? And especially when there might be students, there might be women who are in the very beginning of their career and they need that financial support as well. So that's something which brought the idea of building BBWIC Foundation. And it's been close to 2 years.
Yeah, I was just kind of noticing that January make your 2 year anniversary. So that's good. That's great to hear what you're doing. And one of the things too that we have to keep in mind, because some people will say, well, aren't there other women's organizations? But it's just like this podcast, everyone's story resonates different with people. So some other organization just may not resonate with someone. They may not get it, or maybe their approach is different. So it's good that we have different approaches. And I really like the fact that you were talking about, you know, you're helping other people that are wanting to move to the US. So having someone to help with that, because I really, maybe some organizations do that, but I haven't heard anyone else that's, you know, kind of showing people the way and giving them guidance on what it takes to come to the US. So that's great that you have that out there. And, you know, with a big gap in the industry of cybersecurity and even IT, there's such a shortage that they need more people here. And so that's good that there's a place where people can go to learn about that. And I was noticing recently that I believe you have like a workshop coming up online soon about resumes and interviewing and stuff. That's great. So your different interactions with your members. Do you have in-person meetings? Are these virtual, or how does that work?
So currently it's virtual because we are still very fresh and we are figuring out, for example, in terms of like, I'm personally not supporter of chapter-based like part of communities. Like I know communities who have chapters who are doing wonderfully well, but I started with the idea of quality. So in future, we might bring some point of contacts from different countries. We might have some in-person meetups because now the world is opening up. So we'll like we might vouch for that, but as of now, all the meetups are virtual and we do them at a very golden hour, which is 11 a.m. ET, which works nearly for everyone around the world, most of them. I would say like there is a problem with Australia and New Zealand. I know I'm trying to figure out that so that we can include more women from Australia and New Zealand as well. But 11 a.m. ET mostly works for nearly everyone in Asia, Europe, and North America, like basically all America, North America and South America, so that we can have maximum amount of members joining us and we can have some live sessions, live Q&As. Sometimes the people that we are bringing, they are in different parts of the world. So that's when we focus on virtual. And second thing is kind of bringing D&I. Like we often talk about D&I, but here, one of the focuses also is to advocate for diversity and inclusion. So through the community, we have also given exposure to a lot of women in different parts of the world. So for example, we have women from Nigeria, we have women from South America, from India, and from US, from Canada. So all of us, they are interacting together. They are pairing up for mentoring. They're pairing up for initiatives. So kind of giving that exposure through our virtual session became very prominent. And when we started, it was COVID. So eventually we'll move up to some in person, I won't say meetups, but some kind of in-person events that we can do in different parts of the world through our point of contacts or POCs that we are trying to build right now. So as soon as like as we bring that, we'll definitely do some in-person as well. But yes, as of now, we are virtual. And this session, which Philip just mentioned, it's on resumes and salary negotiation. So it's going to be hosted by one of our board member, Margot, who's Field. And it's open for members and non-members as well. So tickets might be still open on Eventbrite, and the link is on our page, on LinkedIn page, which is BBWIC Foundation. So you can find the post and you can still apply for the tickets for the last few seats which are left for the event, and the event is tomorrow.
Oh, very good. Yeah, that's great to hear. And there's a lot to be said about, you know, virtual events, because at least that way it's available to more people worldwide. And that's one of the things that I liked about when, you know, periodically when I'd stream or do some kind of live events, it's nice to be able to offer it, you know, globally instead of just one area. Cause you think of this resource, if you're just in one city doing these meetups, there's just so much that others are missing out on that they could benefit from when you share it by streaming it or using Zoom or other platforms like that.
Absolutely. I completely agree. Yes.
So do you have any, since January is the big 2-year anniversary, are there any plans for next year?
Yes, absolutely. So we are plan on like building some kind of initiative. So there are going to be initiatives which would be based on upscaling and upskilling. So we are going to have we have still not announced, but there are a couple of collaborations in terms of leadership development and in terms of upscaling. So we are going to bring opportunities where members who are going to join us, like become officially members of BBWIC Foundation, they might get some discounts on certifications, We are also going to bring some kind of virtual trainings where people can upskill themselves in different areas of cyber. That's what I said, like when you want to make a lateral switch. So we are kind of bringing those initiatives. We call them as subject matter expert program. And as I said, leadership development becomes very important. So we are going to collaborate with organizations and kind of give sessions to our member, which is focused on imposter syndrome, leadership, sustainability, etc. So that's going to be focus of our next year. Absolutely.
That's great. Sounds like you're planning for a good year. Part of the reason people tune into the show is to learn how to get into the industry. So you kind of shared your background. So what's some of your advice for those that are wanting to get into cybersecurity or any area of technology? What would you recommend?
Absolutely. So there are a couple of things which people can do, which depends on their background. So for example, if somebody's already in IT, they have that IT knowledge, they have worked on different projects, but not specifically tagged cybersecurity projects. So they can go for directly to certifications, because for them, understanding, the basic foundations, which I personally feel for getting into cyber, is your systems, networks, and compliance. Like, these are the basic foundations, and you go up from there. So the other areas are more advanced, but these are your basics. So if you're already in IT, you can go for some starting certifications. For example, I took the pilot exam for ISE Square a couple of months ago. It's now called Certified in Cybersecurity. So it's a pretty good exam. It really expands knowledge in 8 domains of cyber security, like it happens in CSSP, but in terms of level and difficulty, it's easy, comparatively very easy. So one can opt for that, or Security Plus, or Certified Ethical Hacker. These are a couple of 3-4 certifications like someone can start with if they're already in IT. If someone is not in IT, they want to make a move. Now, it depends where you are. So for example, if you are in a country like India, I would recommend go for a degree. If you go for a boot camp or a small course, it might be difficult for you to still get into that market, because there are a lot of people who are already doing degrees. And I know, like, because I come from India, I know how many people they enroll for master programs. So their master's degrees preferred more. But let's say you are here in the US or Canada. Here, boot camps can also be a great approach. So you can enroll for a boot camp. So I was part of Flatiron School. I just left, but I had great 2 years with Flatiron School. So their great boot camp program is very, very immersive. You can sign up for 4 months. Like, it depends. It's very flexible. You can complete your program in 4 months, 6 months, or in an year. So flexibility is there. So you can opt for boot camps. Different types of boot camps are in the market. Boot camps can give you that very starter knowledge, and not just knowledge, some practical approach as well, because there are labs, there are assignments, there are certain types of collaborations which boot camp do with companies, like universities also do. So for real-time experiences, you can enroll for boot camps as well. If you're already into cybersecurity and you want to switch domain, in that sense, like from my journey, so I moved from IAM to SIM and threat hunting, and now I'm into cloud security. So how that happened was certifications really help. That's for sure. It's like your experience and the certifications, they vouch for you. So for example, if somebody has been a consultant for a while and they do a couple of cloud certifications, they are in application security. So certifications really help you in your interview at that point. You can vouch for it that I did something and here is a validation. So certification is kind of a validation that you know something. And if they are industry recognized certifications, they are really good, because companies, they really recognize it if you already have an experience. So they give you a chance to interview, talk about the role, talk about the certification. And many times when you volunteer for communities, so let's say you're in AppSec, you want to move to cloud, you did a cloud certification, but you volunteered for a couple of courses in communities, you can also show that. So here, self-branding helps, like what sessions you give in conferences, what sessions you give as a volunteer instructor or as a volunteer in communities, it really adds up to kind of your potential to that role. So if you're already in cyber, again, certifications are going to help you when you are laterally moving. If you are not, then it really depends on where you are. So wherever you are in your country, what is more important? Is degree more important? Then you might have to go for a distance program or in-person program. If bootcamp works, then go for bootcamp. If you're already in IT, then certifications solely will help you get the job. But you do have to do your bit of understanding things. And I think that's where communities comes into picture. Community gives you that network, gives you that space to express and share, and gives you that self brand through which anybody can leverage, coming from IT or non-IT. Yeah.
Yeah, I like that you mentioned community, because one of the things I always shared with my students when I was teaching, and then people I still mentor today, is how helpful it is to network. And when you're getting involved with the different communities, it sure helps, you know, your efforts trying to find jobs.
Absolutely, because you'll get to know something that you didn't know, and you get to partner with people you never know. So, for example, you can collaborate as speaker in conferences, and you get to know that person more. So it really helps you build that personal relationship in terms of when you apply for jobs. And it's very important when you are coming from a non-IT background, or you might not have a degree, but you have a certification and great knowledge. At that point, it becomes highly important. And when you are even studying and you're looking for jobs, like graduates looking for job, then also community becomes very important. You never know who's working for these big tech companies and might know you, might have seen you in the community, and might refer you. So very, very important. And to build that up is very important.
And that, if you can get someone to refer you to the company, that, you know, because trying to go through the HR firewall can be difficult, because, you know, you apply online and you go through that process and you hope that your resume triggers something in the algorithms that you get selected where you get interviewed. And that can be difficult. Some people think it's just difficult for new people. I had an example where I used to work for US Bank as a pen tester. And so prior to going to work there, I had submitted my application online to Bank of America. And it took a year to get someone to contact me from Bank of America on an open role they had. And they had open positions when I applied, but just going through their HR system and how, you know, their system works and getting selected. Whereas at US Bank, I met someone at an OWASP meeting. He said that they were hiring. I gave him my resume. He submitted my resume to the hiring manager, and I got an interview, and I got into the company. So some people think it's just the beginners that have a hard time getting in through the HR system, but really it's pretty much anyone.
It's anyone. And I think one of the important things is, it's not just like, many times I've seen people join community and they might have their own expectations when they join communities. But I would say one thing, if communities are here to give, you also have to devote your time. So you have to build that relationship. It's not like you are in a community, you just saw somebody or working on a some profile and just you reached out to them and said like, hey, can you refer me? This might sound very new and like odd to them as well, because they don't know you. So building those relationships, those trust in community is very, very important, because that's something which is really going to be helpful for you. And not just, as you mentioned, not just for beginner roles, but for myself as well, it has worked in the past. And for many others, it has worked. That's why we have this strong community where we can identify talents easily and refer them. So it's like that. So it's very, very important.
Yeah. And one of the things I'm just kind of curious about, because here lately, I've had a lot of guests on that, you know, have that, you know, do some kind of content creation and those things. So the topic of branding comes up a lot. And I think it's probably more useful now for people in the industry or trying to get into the industry, you know, to have a good brand and, you know, getting their name out there. So what are some recommendations you'd have for people to help with their personal brand that would help them professionally?
I think in terms of branding, one of the things is, when you're on LinkedIn, just be an observer. Like, for example, you really follow someone, you are inspired and inspired by them. That's a very different thing. But when it comes to you, be an observer. And observer in terms of, okay, what's happening outside in the market and what are your innate capability? What are your strengths? Identify your strengths. Many times you won't like to do videos. For example, you might not want to start a channel of yours because it's your personality and you don't have to force yourself, because rest everybody else or people you follow or people you see just like that, they are doing it. You might can start with a podcast if you don't want to go on a public platform, like you don't want to show public like video basically. So you can go with podcast, you can go with, like, if you're comfortable with videos, you can start with the channel, you can start sharing knowledge, or you can go with in a podcast manner. Other than that, you can start with blogs, you can write. If you're shy, if you're introvert, if it's okay. People are great bloggers. They are some of the great bloggers whose posts we really, really follow. And they really write great recommendations, links. I remember Gabrielle, she often writes great posts on resources. So they're very, very important. And trust me, it takes time to get those resources, search on internet, put it into words, and then properly edit them and post it for everyone. So it's a tough job. So if you want to create a self brand, if you're interested in coding, so you can create some GitHub repositories, put your GitHub ID on social media so that people can quickly access. And there are platforms, right? Like there are applications where you can show all your socials. So you can add them. So if you are a coder, you can create GitHub repository, collaborate, write if you want. Be a podcaster if you like to talk and share knowledge, but not in a video manner, or you can go for a channel. Then one of the important participation is being a volunteer. You can become a volunteer. Becoming a volunteer in a community is not very tough. I remember one of the few words from Megan, which she shared. She actually volunteered for Black Hat and many other conferences. And she has shared as part of her journey, it has really helped. If you become a volunteer, it gives you great exposure on how the conferences are being implemented, how you can participate, get to meet people, network. So become a volunteer if you can. It's really going to help you. And volunteer experiences happen for in-person conference as well, virtual as well. Sometimes there are events where, like, two-day events where people are looking for volunteers. If you want to become a volunteer for community itself, so be that. All of these things, they are really going to help you build that brand internally or externally on a social media. So yeah, you can start with anything you like and you feel comfortable with.
That's some great advice. And I think too often nowadays people don't appreciate or really realize the power of writing, because you know you're writing blogs and that sort of thing. It's also showing employers that you have writing skills. It's displaying your writing skills, and the soft skills is something that's very important. You know, you're being able to communicate, being able to write. And you know, the blogs are a good thing. Just like you said, if someone's shy, you may podcasting or video may be tough for you, but you can write, or sharing those GitHub repositories. People that come up with tools and stuff get very well known. And I really like that you mentioned the volunteering. I've had students before in the past that volunteered our local B-Sides conference, and no one really knew them in the community. But a lot of times if you're involved with volunteering for an event from start to finish, there's meetings to get together to discuss the logistics of the conference. There's also meetings maybe to put together swag bags and badges and things. And then the day of the conference, people see that you're willing to give to the community and help, and people really appreciate that. So they see that, and that's really, really great, a great asset to have, is to volunteer, people to see that you're willing to help others.
Absolutely. And they remember you. They remember you forever. Like, anytime you meet them again, it's going to be like very warm. So it's kind of networking plus giving back to the community and getting exposed to so many resources that you have never thought of. So it's going to be a very exuberating experience for someone like who wants to start and actually exhibit what's going on. So that's really something I felt is very, very important, and can be a great, great experience or a life-changing experience for someone.
Yes, definitely. It's amazing what it can do. I really appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule. I know you started a new job. Congrats again on that. Is there anything that you'd like to share before we end this episode?
Yes. So if you're looking to join community, like if you want to get into cyber, and if you're a woman, and if you're a woman already working in the industry, so BPWIC Foundation can become your support, and we are happy to have you. So our website is bbwic.com. So it's bbwic.com, and you can register from there, and our membership is completely free. And yes, if you want to reach out to me, so I am on LinkedIn by the name of Asda Sahani. So it's AASDHASHNI. You can find me on LinkedIn as well. And I'm happy to connect. If you have any questions, I can really help you with that as well.
And in the show notes, we'll be sharing Asda's social media as well as resources to her nonprofit organization. So you have those access readily available, and really great organization to look into. So thanks again for joining and sharing your wisdom and advice.
Thank you so much. It's always my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Thanks everyone for joining, and we'll see you on the next episode.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Hacker Factory podcast with Philip Wiley. If you learned something new and this podcast made you think, then share ITSBmagazine.com with your friends, family, and colleagues. If you represent a company and wish to associate your brand with our conversations, sponsor one or more of our podcast channels. We hope you will come back for more stories and follow us on our journey. You can always find us at the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society.